like to share a number of scriptures with you, praise and thanksgiving. Psalm 95, verses 1 to 6. If you have your Bible, you can turn to these. If not, just listen along. Oh, come, let us sing to the Lord. Let us shout joyfully to the rock of our salvation. Let us come before his presence with thanksgiving. Let us shout joyfully to him with psalms, for the Lord is the great God and the great King above all gods. In his hand are the deep places of the earth. The heights of the hills are his also. The sea is his, for he made it, and his hands formed the dry land. Oh, come, let us worship and bow down. Let us kneel before the Lord our Maker. Psalm 100, Psalm of Thanksgiving. Make a joyful shout to the Lord, all you lands. Serve the Lord with gladness. Come before his presence with singing. Know that the Lord, he is God. It is he who has made us, and not we ourselves. We are his people, the sheep of his pasture. Enter into his gates with thanksgiving and into his courts with praise. Be thankful to him and bless his name, for the Lord is good. His mercy is everlasting, and his truth endures to all generations. 1 Thessalonians chapter 5, verses 16 to 18. Rejoice always. Pray without ceasing. In everything give thanks, for this is the will of God in Christ Jesus for you. Colossians 3, 15 to 17. And let the peace of God rule in your hearts, to which also you were called in one body, and be thankful. Let the word of Christ dwell in you richly in all wisdom, teaching and admonishing one another in psalms and hymns and spiritual songs, singing with grace in your hearts to the Lord. And whatever you do in word or deed, do all in the name of the Lord Jesus, giving thanks to God the Father through him. May the Lord bless his word to our hearts. I'd like to ask our brother Tim Martin to lead us before the Lord in prayer. Brother Tim.
Our Father, in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ, we come before you this evening to give you thanks and praise once again for all that we have in you. Father, we thank you most of all that you loved us to the degree that you would send your only begotten, well-beloved Son down to this earth to die for us, to be judged by you, to pay for our sins in his own precious blood. We thank you for our standing in him. We thank you that we are yours, that we belong to you. We are your children. We thank you that we have been adopted into your family by your grace and your mercy. We thank you for all that we have in and through the person and work of the Lord Jesus. Father, we look back over this year and we see that all the things that have happened. We know some of our number who have lost loved ones. We know some of those who have gone through deep waters, Father, and yet you have brought us through all these things. It's only according to your great faithfulness that we've just sung about. We thank you that you're always there, that you're always faithful, that you change not. We thank you as we look back and we see all the things and the many blessings you have bestowed upon us, Father. We cannot do anything but give you thanks and praise and ascribe to you all the worship and honor and glory that you are so worthy of. Father, we ask you to continue to bless our meeting here this evening. Continue to bless our time together tomorrow as we share the Thanksgiving meal. Father, just blessing all these things, blessing each family that's represented here, Father, that they may have a good time, rejoicing in what you have done for us. In the name of the Lord Jesus, for his sake, amen. Amen.
This time, Ron and June McKay are going to bring us a number. Lovely number. Thank you, Ron and June. A couple of readings here, and one of these was from William Bradford, who was the Pilgrim Father and second governor of Plymouth. To all ye pilgrims, inasmuch as the great Father, I appreciate the references to God in heaven in each of these readings. Inasmuch as the great Father has given us this year an abundant harvest of Indian corn, wheat, peas, beans, squashes, and garden vegetables, and has made the forest to abound with game and the sea with fish and clams, and inasmuch as he has protected us from the ravages of the savages, has spared us from pestilence and disease, has granted us freedom to worship God according to the dictates of our own consciences. Now I, your magistrate, do proclaim that all ye pilgrims, with your wives and your little ones, do gather at the meeting house on the hill between the hours of 9 and 12 in the daytime on Thursday, November the 29th of the year of our Lord, 1623, in the third year since ye pilgrims landed on Pilgrim Rock, there to listen to your pastor and render thanksgiving to the Almighty God for all his blessings. William Bradford, the governor of their colony. And here is a proclamation, Thanksgiving proclamation from our first president, George Washington. By the President of the United States of America, a proclamation. Whereas it is the duty of all nations to acknowledge the providence of Almighty God, to obey his will, to be grateful for his benefits, and humbly to implore his protection and favor. And whereas both houses of Congress have by their joint committee requested me to recommend to the people of the United States a day of public thanksgiving and prayer to be observed by acknowledging with grateful hearts the many signal favors of Almighty God, especially by affording them an opportunity peaceably to establish a form of government for their safety and happiness. Now, therefore, I do recommend and assign Thursday, the 26th day of November next, to be devoted by the people of these states to the service of that great and glorious being who is the beneficent author of all the good that was, that is, or that will be, that we may then all unite in rendering unto him our sincere and humble thanks for his kind care and protection of the people of this country previous to their becoming a nation, for the signal and manifold mercies and the favorable interpositions of his providence which we have experienced in the course and conclusion of the late war, for the great degree of tranquility, union, and plenty which we have since enjoyed, for the peaceable and rational manner, in particularly the national one now lately instituted, for the civil and religious liberty with which we are blessed and the means we have of acquiring and diffusing useful knowledge, and in general for all the great and various favors which he has been pleased to confer upon us. And also that we may then unite in most humbly offering our prayers and supplications to the great Lord and ruler of nations, and beseech him to pardon our national and other transgressions, to enable us all, whether in public or private stations, to perform our several and relative duties properly and punctually, to render our national government a blessing to all peoples by constantly being a government of wise, just, and constitutional laws, discreetly and faithfully executed and obeyed, to protect and guide all sovereigns and nations, especially such as have shown kindness unto us, and to bless them with good government, peace, and concord, to promote the knowledge and the practice of true religion and virtue, and the increase of science among them and us, and generally to grant unto all mankind such a degree of temporal prosperity as he alone knows to be best, given under my hand at the city of New York, the third day of October, in the year of our Lord, 1789, signed by George Washington.
Shortly, we're going to open up the floor and ask the males here tonight to share something that they're thankful for, maybe several things. I want you to be thinking about that, and hopefully you already have. Appreciate those songs and the prayer and the readings, both from Scripture and also these declarations. As we think about our nation and how it was founded and the desire to thank God, to recognize Him as the one who has provided for us the many blessings that we're able to experience as Americans. Recently, Chuck Swindoll, Charles R. Swindoll, many of you are familiar with his Bible teaching over the radio for many years. He posted something called Thanksgiving. It's a little bit lengthy, but I think that it will be an encouragement to you and a blessing as you think about your own feelings about Thanksgiving. And he's really sharing kind of the testimony of what Thanksgiving means to him in a number of ways. Thanksgiving by Charles R. Swindoll. My love affair with Thanksgiving takes me all the way back to my boyhood days. I just turned 10 years of age and was in fifth grade at South Maid Elementary School in East Houston. As I recall, I was still going barefoot to school, and I combed my hair maybe three times a week. Girls didn't matter a lot to me when I was 10. It was on a Wednesday, the day before our Thanksgiving holidays began. The year was 1944. Our nation was at war across the Atlantic, into Europe, as well as in the Pacific and far beyond. Times were simple back then, but they were also rugged. Everything was rationed. Framed stars hung proudly in neighborhood windows, and sometimes they were quietly changed to crosses. Everyone I knew was patriotic to the core. Without television, we relied on newsreels that were shown at the movies, bold newspaper headlines, and Life magazine, which carried photos and moving stories of courage and battle and deaths at sea. Signs were posted inside most stores and on street corners, all of them with the same four words, Uncle Sam wants you. Draped high across the front of our classroom was a huge American flag with its 48 stars and 13 stripes. We began that Wednesday as we did every other day in school, standing erect beside our desk, repeating the Pledge of Allegiance, and then bowing our heads as our teacher led us in prayer. Hanging just below the flag was a large picture of our 32nd president, Franklin Delano Roosevelt. She always remembered to pray for him and our soldier boys who were serving their country in dark, dreary, and dangerous places a half a world away from my fifth grade class. My teacher had lost her husband on the blood-washed shores of Normandy the previous June. After we had saluted the flag, a hush fell across the room as we bowed our heads together. No one moved. As she began to pray and give thanks, her voice broke and she started to weep. I did too. So did Richard Webb, my best buddy, and Wanda Raglan. Even Charles White and Warren Cook, two tough kids who later played high school football when we were all Milby Buffaloes, wiped back their tears. No one moved as she stumbled and sobbed her way through her prayer, which was filled with some of the most moving expressions of gratitude and praise that I have ever heard emerge from a soul plunged in personal grief and pain. In that epical moment, time stood still. And I believe it was then, right then, that I fell in love with Thanksgiving. It became for me far more than just another holiday. It took on a significance that bordered the sacred. Lost in sympathy and a 10-year-old boy's pity for his teacher, I walked home much slower that autumn afternoon. Although only a child, I entertained deep and profound feelings of gratitude for my country, kept free by the bravery and blood of men and women only a few years older than I, most of them fresh out of high school. On that cool afternoon, I felt a renewed surge of thankfulness for my mom and dad, my older brother and sister, my maternal grandparents, my friends, for my school, my neighborhood, my church. Though only a child, I promised God that I would fight to the end to keep this land free from enemies who would take away our liberty and erase America's distinctives and steal the joys of living in this good land. I have never forgotten that childhood promise. I remembered it at another Thanksgiving, 14 years later in late November of 1958, when I wore the uniform and silently walked the same beaches of Okinawa where my fellow Marines had sacrificed their lives in the last great battle of the South Pacific in World War II. And as Thanksgiving returns annually, I still pause. I still let the wonder in. Thanksgiving puts steel in our nerves and causes fresh blood to course through our patriotic veins. It reminds us of our great heritage. It carries us back with humbling nostalgia to those first dreadful winters at places like Plymouth and Jamestown, where less than half of those who first landed survived. But what grand men and women those pioneers became, those who pressed on. Reading their names today is like reading a page out of our National Heroes Hall of Fame. Though in words taken from Hebrews 11, they were those of whom the world was not worthy. At this time every year, I pause and remember how thankful I am for each one of them. They had the stuff of which greatness is made. Thanksgiving speaks in clear, crisp tones of almost forgotten terms, like integrity, respect, vigilance, devotion, dignity, honor, discipline, freedom, sacrifice, heroism, humility, peace, and godliness. Its historic halls echo with voices embedded in the woodwork, the voices of Washington, Franklin, Adams, Jefferson, Henry, Lincoln, Lee, Jackson, Eisenhower, MacArthur, and Reagan, all of whom challenge us to trim off the fat of indolence, passivity, and compromise, to rid ourselves of the stigma of strife and prejudice, the malignancy of selfishness and greed. As everyone around us reaches for more and clings to what is, Thanksgiving drops to its knees, pleading that we release ourselves to others in greater need and set our affections on things unseen. As the very real threat of terrorism continues to rear its ugly head, and as our culture gives way to shameful and brutal acts of violence, it is easy to let ourselves become preoccupied with only the fear of a stark and barren future, a world without color and laughter. Thanksgiving stands tall and sends the same message every year. There is a better way to think and to live. Your God is still blessing you with the fragrance of forgiveness and the beauty of His bounty. I have found in these 63 years that have followed my experience in that fifth grade class that it is essential to pause very deliberately each Thanksgiving and do what the name of the holiday tells me to do. When I do, without exception, I found that beauty replaces the fear of barrenness and a deep joy returns to my soul. Though she wrote her song long ago, perhaps on a Thanksgiving day, when times were hard and nights seemed long, Catherine Lee Bates was determined to see beyond the present and focus her mind on things beautiful. She provided us with a vivid reminder of why it's worth it to make this a time to pause and to give thanks. Oh, beautiful for spacious skies, for amber waves of grain, for purple mountain majesties above the fruited plain. Oh, beautiful for heroes proved in liberating strife, who more than self their country loved, and mercy more than life. Oh, beautiful for patriot dream that sees beyond the years, thine alabaster cities gleam undimmed by human tears. America, America, God shed His grace on thee and crown thy good with brotherhood from sea to shining sea. And so, as the best of all the holidays fast approaches, may we take our cues from my fifth grade teacher. May we be as self-forgetful as she was that lonely day in her life, soon to face her first Thanksgiving alone in her little apartment. May we remember what she remembered, that Thanksgiving transcends our present trials, that it is a day of magnificent memories, a day of renewed commitment to the things that matter. Like my teacher, may we not allow it to be eclipsed behind the clouds of our national aches or submerged beneath the pain of personal loss and hardship. May Thanksgiving arrive this year with a forceful and throbbing impact upon us. May it leave each one of us gripped with gratitude for the same things that I remembered as a barefoot kid walking home from school on that autumn afternoon so many years ago. Well put. by Brother Swindoll. I'm going to ask Joseph Shelley if he would come up now. He shared a medley Sunday morning, and it was a medley of Thanksgiving songs that were very much appreciated, and we've asked him if he would to come and share those songs with us again.
Come, ye thankful people, come, raise the song of harvest home. All is safely gathered in, ere the winter storms begin. God our Maker doth provide for our wants to be supplied. Come to God's own temple, come, raise the song of harvest home. Even so, Lord, quickly come, bring thy final harvest home. Gather thou thy people in, free from sorrow,
Joseph. Appreciate those reminders of what we have to be thankful for. Those of us who have received the Lord Jesus as Savior, what a blessing to know that our sins are forgiven. We have a home in heaven and a life that's abundant here upon this earth, no matter what our circumstances. And we praise God for that. Thank you, Lord, for saving my soul. I want to open it up at this time. Again, we hope that you've been thinking about some of the things for which you are thankful. It may have been an experience, a blessing particularly, a scripture verse, something else that may be on your mind, on your heart, and this is a great opportunity to share that with others here and be a blessing to them. So we had a hand in the back, Scott Murphy, and we got several hands, so praise the Lord. Levi's got a microphone he'll bring to you. If you could just get that and share with us, that'll be great.
I'm thankful for, first of all, for the Lord Jesus Christ. We're to have no other gods before him, he said in his own word. In his own words, thou shalt have no other God before me. I can't really even fathom truthfully how important it is to have nothing else more important than God in your life. And I'm thankful, having said that, I'm thankful that we meet as the New Testament has laid out and meet in the worship room surrounding the emblems that set forth in the New Testament. And as I read the New Testament, I see many examples where it's written a lot by Paul that he is thankful always for the Christians. So I'm very thankful for all of the people who have touched my life here in this assembly. It's been Sunday school teachers and youth leaders and elders and deacons and friends. And lately, I've been really touched by the new people who attend here that have really started to become a part of this family. Mm. And there's many people that are no longer on this earth that were a part of my life, and I'm just thankful for all of them. And I know that God's put all of you in my life. And I was going to read 2 Thessalonians chapter 1, verse 3. Paul writes, "We are bound to thank God always for you, brethren, as it is meet, because your faith groweth exceedingly, and the charity of every one of you all towards each other aboundeth."
Okay, thank you, Scott. All right, and I think John Angel, then there were several toward the back, but come up this way, Levi, toward the middle. And then we've got several in the back there. We'll get after Brother John.
Well, I have an observation and then a couple of Bible verses. And you two brothers have really brought this home tonight. I observe that as the secularizers have pretty much taken over our society and they continue to get rid of any mention of God, people say, "I'm thankful for thus and so." Fewer and fewer people say, "I thank God for this and that." Or I thank the Lord Jesus Christ for something. And I confess to you, brothers, that I'm very guilty, as much as anybody, of following the world's ways in this respect. And I ask you to help me. I think we should challenge one another to say it the way the Bible says it. And our brothers have just read several proclamations by Governor Bradford and George Washington and so many others. But, of course, from the Bible is the most important. Because this holiday is not primarily about thanking whoever prepared our meal for preparing our meal. Although children and brothers, that'd probably be a good thing tomorrow to do. But the world is watching and listening, not just to what we say, but how we say it. Because Thanksgiving, the way we see it, is not a sort of generic Thanksgiving. It's Thanksgiving to God. God who's revealed in the Lord Jesus Christ, our Savior. And what He has done for us. So let's make that clear. As Paul says in Romans 1:16, "For I am not ashamed of the gospel of Christ. It is the power of God unto salvation to everyone that believeth." And then he says also in 2 Timothy chapter 1, "I thank God, whom I serve for my forefathers with pure conscience." And then he says in verse 7, "For God hath not given us the spirit of fear." I like Darby's translation. He says, "cowardice," "but of power and of love and of a sound mind. Be not thou therefore ashamed of the testimony of our Lord. So tonight I thank God that I can say these things, but not just here in this assembly, but outside this building when I go out as a way of giving glory and testimony to the wondrous grace of God our Father through the Lord Jesus Christ. And I encourage all of us to say not, I'm thankful for, but with the Apostle Paul, I thank God through Jesus Christ our Lord. So let's give thanks to Him this Thanksgiving. Amen?
Okay. Amen. Thank you, John. Okay, Levi, back toward the back. I saw several hands of Leo.
Well, I'd like to thank the Lord for my salvation because I know He saved me not because of anything righteous that I had done. Psalm 116 reminds me what He did in my life. He got a hold of my life and just turned me around, and it gives me an opportunity in this psalm to also thank Him. He says, I love the Lord because He has heard my voice and my supplications, because He has inclined His ear to me. Therefore, I will call upon Him as long as I live. The pains of death surrounded me, and the pangs of Sheol laid hold of me. I found trouble and sorrow, then I called upon the name of the Lord. O Lord, I implore you deliver my soul. Gracious is the Lord and righteous. Yes, our God is merciful. The Lord preserves the simple. I was brought low when He saved me. Return to your rest, O my soul, for the Lord has dealt bountifully with you. For you delivered my soul from death, my eyes from tears, and my feet from falling. I will walk before the Lord in the land of the living. I believe, therefore I spoke. I am greatly afflicted. I said in my haste, all men are liars. What shall I render to the Lord for all His benefits toward me? I will take up the cup of salvation and call upon the name of the Lord. I will pay my vows to the Lord. Now in the presence of His people, precious in the sight of the Lord is the death of His saints. O Lord, I truly am your servant. I am your servant, the son of your maidservant. You have loosed my bonds. I will offer you the sacrifice of thanksgiving, and I will call upon the name of the Lord. I will pay my vows to the Lord now in the presence of all His people, in the courts of the Lord's house, in the midst of you, O Jerusalem. Praise the Lord. And I think that psalm says it all.
Yeah. Praise the Lord. Okay, there's another hand. Patrick, in the back.
First of all, I just want to say I'm thankful for elastic, because tomorrow I'm going to go to both grandparents' house and going to make use of that elastic waistband tomorrow. But I'm also thankful that the Bible doesn't have plot holes. To give an example, one of my favorite movies is Indiana Jones. And in one scene, he climbs onto a German submarine and rides it like 1,000 miles. But he's on the outside of the submarine. You know, it's one of those things like, well, just don't think about it too much. You know, the movie was still good. So he's supposed to survive on the outside of a submarine underwater for 1,000 miles. But unlike Indiana Jones, the Bible doesn't have plot holes. And in Isaiah 9:6, it says, for unto us a child is born, unto us a son is given. And normally those verses to me just make me think of the nativity scene or something. But I heard a speaker today say, he took those verses apart and he said, the speaker in Isaiah knew back then by the Spirit that this was not just a picture of a little baby being born, but of a God becoming man and fully God. For unto us a child is born, Christ in His man form, human form, and unto us a son is given, the Son of God Himself. So back then in Isaiah, God knew. So I'm thankful that the Bible is one of those things that you don't have to look away from and try to ignore, but the more you look at it, the more it makes sense. And I'm so thankful that He's given that to us.
Amen. Thank you. I'd like to share Tico down front here. Was there somebody back there? I see a hand. Yeah, Sonny, go ahead and catch him while you're there, Levi.
I have two passages I want to refer to. One of them just has one verse, and the other one has two verses. 2 Corinthians chapter 8 and verse 9 says, for you know the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, that though He was rich, yet for your sakes He became poor, that ye through His poverty might be rich. And I'm thankful first and foremost that I'm saved, that the Lord Jesus was willing to become poor that I might have my salvation, and most of our family is saved. In the movie, It's a Wonderful Life, most of you have probably seen it lots of times at Christmas with Jimmy Stewart playing George Bailey. At the end of the movie, I think it's his brother says to him, "George, you're one of the richest or the richest man in the world." Well, that was because he had a lot of friends that helped him out of a big mess that he was in financially. But believers, anybody who knows the Lord, is far richer than George Bailey. The second passage I'd like to refer to is in Lamentations chapter 3, verses 22 and 23. "It is of the Lord's mercies that we are not consumed, because his compassions fail not. They are new every morning. Great is thy faithfulness." I'm not only thankful that I'm saved, I'm thankful that I'm kept. And I'm kept daily, I'm kept monthly, and for 56 years, that's how long I've been saved. I got saved when I was 17. Now you know how old I am. I can't fool you anymore. But anyway, but more important than that, I am kept also for all eternity. So that's what I'm thankful for.
Amen. Thank you, Sonny. Okay, Levi, if you come on down to Tico up front here.
I had a verse for tonight, and then as I sat here, the Lord just spoke to me, and I like to just share an experience I've had. And I'm in a very transitional place in my life right now, and God has really been speaking to me, and I'm really starting to get it. And it's not about me, and it's not about my stuff, and it's about the Lord working through me. And I'm not Mother Teresa or anything at this point, but that's the direction that I'm really trying to move in, and I'm comfortable with that. And last night I watched a show called Tiny House. I don't know if anybody's ever seen that show, but it's about people that have just given up everything, and they move into these little tiny houses. Now, I'm talking about maybe 6 feet by 18 feet, and they live in these houses. And this one lady who they interviewed, she was some kind of executive and had a real serious health issue. And she said, "I just reevaluated my life." And she says, "I got rid of my stuff." And she says, "I'm here now." And she said, "My life is so much simpler." And she says, "When I think about my life," now this lady was probably late 40s, but she says, "What is my life? 10 minutes? And that really hit me. I thought, you know, I'm not the oldest guy in this room, but it seems like I got to this age very, very quickly. And that 10 minutes really spoke to me. I thought, wow, what a good picture of what really happens. And tomorrow, I'll get to sit in my house, and the Lord has provided plenty of food, and we'll have a great-grandparent there. We'll have grandparents. We'll have fathers, mothers, daughters, granddaughters. And I'm just really looking forward to it, just sitting there, not in all my wisdom, but I'm seeing it different now. And I'm just really looking forward to that. Like Susan's family, 7 brothers and sisters, they're all still here. My family, 2 brothers, they're all still here. It's just a lot to be thankful for. And I just really thank the Lord for that day he tapped me on the shoulder. I've been a slow learner, but things are just starting to open up for me, and I just thank God for that.
Amen. Thank you for that testimony, Tico. Any others like to share tonight? We have more time. Yes, Luther?
I've had a pretty rough year, but at the same time, the rougher it is, I think the more you realize what's really important. And throughout this year, I've realized so much more how much I have to be thankful for. You know, not only my salvation, but that's huge. My sin is reckoned gone. I am forgiven completely. And because of that, I also know that one day I will see that one I love, my Lord, my Redeemer. I will see him face to face. I'd like to read just two real quick short verses in Psalms that give an idea of what we should be looking for and doing. Psalm 42, verse 1, as the hart pants after the water brook, so pants my soul after thee, O God. My soul thirsts for God, for the living God. When shall I come and appear before God? And then in Psalm 63, O God, thou art my God, early will I seek thee. My soul thirsts for thee. My flesh longs for thee in a dry and thirsty land where no water is, to see thy power and thy glory. One day, I will see him. But in the meantime, he wants me to thirst after him, to yearn for him, to love him just a little like he loves me. I just thank him.
Amen. Thank you, Luther. Yes, Doug?
Thank you. Dave took out of my passage. I was going to read Psalm 100, but we'll just read that last verse again. And it's, for the Lord is good, his steadfast love endures forever, and his faithfulness to all generations. We are extremely thankful for our family. They will all be here tomorrow, Lord willing, and it should be a great time. And I could echo Tico, I guess, where you just kind of sit back and enjoy watching everybody grow up, and things change a lot, but things stay the same also. And I just feel like when our Lord blesses us with a spouse and children, he is saying that they should be our first priority. Perhaps when people ask us what kind of work we do, our best answer would be, I serve my Lord and my family. Mm-hmm. Happy Thanksgiving.
Thank you, Doug. Okay, Larry, right behind him there, Levi.
We've made mention of this verse already. Well, I mean the thought. But one verse came to mind today when I looked over the bulletin. It said, brethren, be ready to say what you're thankful for. I'm thankful for the grace of God. The verse I was looking at today is 1 Peter chapter 5 and verse 10. And it says, but the God of all grace. It caught my heart as what brought my mind to it. The God of all grace. It's not only our saving grace that we enjoy so implicitly, our salvation. For by grace are you saved through faith. The saving grace of God. But he's a God of all grace. Many have suffered this year. Many things have happened in people's lives. But they've been able to draw from the grace of God. It's not only that saving grace. It's that living grace, day by day. He giveth more grace as the burdens grow greater, the songwriter wrote. The apostle says in this verse, he's called us unto his eternal glory. That's his saving grace. But he says he, after you've suffered a while, will make you perfect. I'll establish you, strengthen you, and settle you, he says. It's that day by day grace we experience as we go through the toils of life. He strengthens us, every one of those, settles us. It comes to that point sometime when we're so afflicted by the world's views, we wonder, where do people stand? But we thank God by his grace, we're settled. We're settled in his word. We're established in his word. That's his grace. He's the God of all grace. And there's an inflection here in the Greek. He says, he will himself give it to us day by day. So I am thankful, praise God, for the grace, the many facets of the grace of God that we enjoy.
Amen. Thank you. Okay, we've got just a few minutes. If anybody don't know, Renji?
I looked at this word, Thanksgiving, in the dictionary. And it says it's the act of giving thanks, grateful acknowledgement of benefits or favors, an expression of gratitude for something received or done for one. That is not the biblical meaning of the word thanksgiving, though, is it? The biblical meaning of thanksgiving is not something you and I do. It is something, it is not something that is a spontaneous expression of thanks for a good deed that is done. Biblical concept of thanksgiving doesn't depend on anything being done. Doesn't depend on anything being received. Tico said he's a slow learner. I'm a stubborn learner. God has to knock me on the head for me to get it. In Philippians 4:11, Paul said this: I have learned in whatsoever state I am, therewith to be content. So thanksgiving is a learning process. It is allowing the Holy Spirit to place in us that contentment that comes by knowing Him, that is the Lord. I ask myself this question: was the Lord Jesus Christ content in everything? Did he live in an attitude of thanksgiving? I'm sure all of us will say yes. Look at his life and see what happened to him. And tell me, if you were in his shoes, would you be thankful? I would not be. It had nothing to do with external circumstances. This is my favorite celebration in this country. I've been here as with my family for about 15 years. Many celebrations around the world, different festivals, different times. I really don't care for any. I'm an anti-celebration kind of a person. But Thanksgiving is something that knocks on my heart's door. Because it's an attitude that you and I have to be in. The more you and I concede our life to Christ and the Spirit that God has placed within us, I think we begin to live that life of thanksgiving. So let this be a thought to you and me. To me it is, because I always look for, what am I thankful for? Reasons for. I'm going to stop looking for reasons to be thankful. And as Paul says, I have learned. And Tico says he's a slow learner. I'm going to start learning. What is it that God really meant? The Old Testament, you look at the children of Israel, what did they do? Did God give them much? Plenty, right? They murmured. A life of thanksgiving is just the opposite. In the Old Testament, they murmured, and you know what God did to them. I am thankful I live in the period of Christ. I would be dead, resurrected, killed again, resurrected, killed again on a daily basis for the way I live. Maybe live in that attitude that God wants us to live in.
Thank you, Renji. And thank you, brothers, so much for sharing. I wish we had more time to continue this, but it's about time to end, and we ask our brother Greg Whittemore if he would come, and Dave is going to accompany him. Traditional Bless This House. Kathleen Freeman sang it for many years, and her son-in-law has taken the torch and been doing a good job. So we'll ask him if he would sing this before we close in prayer. Thanksgiving, how we praise God for the privilege of thanking Him and knowing Him. I'll ask Brother Ron Murdoch, if he would, to close our time to give thanks for the refreshments. You're invited to come. The Ladies Committee has provided some refreshments for us tonight. Hope that you'll come and join us and continue to enjoy the fellowship together. And we do wish you a happy Thanksgiving.
Our Father, we count it a privilege to just be able to fall on our knees Your presence, and to humbly thank You. We have so much to be thankful for. When we think of being lost and dead in sin and separated from You, and how You gave Your best, Your only Son, Your perfect Son, to die and to bear our sins and to pay the punishment, to take that wrath that we would so rightly deserve, so that we could be forgiven, so that we could be saved and clothed in the righteousness of Christ and be able to come to live with You one day in heaven. Father, we're just so thankful for our salvation. So thankful for our Savior, the Lord Jesus Christ. And Father, as we look around this room, we have so much to be thankful for here. When we see the testimony of many who have walked with You for so many years faithfully, a testimony to Your grace and to Your mercy and to the work that You can do in and through a person's life. And we look around and we see families and couples and relationships, and we see young people, Father, living for You and involved in Your work and burdened to want to serve You and to live for You. And so, Father, we're so thankful to You for all that You have blessed us with here in this assembly, for the impact that we're allowed to make in this community, to be a light and to a testimony to a lost world. We're thankful for that, Lord. We pray that You'd help us to be even more faithful in being that light in any way that we can possibly do that. And Father, we're so thankful individually for what you've done in our lives. I thank you for my family, for my wonderful wife. Thank you, Lord, so much for your blessings on each one of us. And Lord, as we think about even continuing in this whole theme of giving thanks to you, as we go into a time of fellowship, thank you for the food that you have provided for us, and even for those who have worked so hard to prepare it for us, we ask you to bless them. Bless our time as we continue to fellowship one with another and around the Lord Jesus Christ. And as we think of all of these things, Lord, may our attention always be drawn to you and to your direction for what you have done, as we pray in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. Amen.